Would you like another 100 points?
Yes!
Okay, another 100 points. So they end up with 501, they got 500. All right. Oh, boys and girls, it is time. It is time for another piece of armour. Another chapel and another piece of armour. And it's time to... Very good. Let's do it. Heavenly Father, thank you for another day and for the things that have been able to be done. We thank you for those who made it through the obstacle course despite the troubles and the hurts. And Lord, we can see that obstacle course is very much like life. And there's a lot of mud trying to get on us, and there are all sorts of challenges and hassles. But Lord, we thank you that we can have you as our helper and our guide through life when we become a Christian. And Lord, you've given us, as we're learning, the whole armour to be good soldiers. So please help us tonight as we study our next piece. Amen. All right, boys and girls, let's have a quick review of what we have seen. And you've hit the button. Good. Praise the Lord. Let's go through it real quick. All right. Our series is called The Whole Armour of God. Now, I'm just going to stop just for a moment. Imagine a soldier who had just joined the army. I don't think I went through this in the first one with you. If I did, and my old timers kicked in, because I don't think I did. If I did already tell you this, just stop me and we'll press on, okay? Imagine a soldier who has just joined the army, and his sergeant takes him into this room where he's got all the equipment that he can have, right? Bulletproof vest, excellent hiking boots, a bazooka, helmet, night goggles, you name it, the whole lot is there. And the sergeant says, get one of each and move on out and we'll bring the next guy through. And this guy goes over and he says, those helmets don't look very cool. I don't think I'll have one of them. Or the gun, that'll be nice. Yeah, maybe a couple of grenades, and no, don't worry about the bulletproof vest, and yeah, that and that, and then out he goes. He only picks up like three of the things.
He'd be done and dusted.
He'd be pretty stupid, right? Okay, what do you have to do? You have to put on the whole armour. All right, let's move on. We are looking at the imagery of a Roman soldier. And when Paul wrote the letter to the Ephesians, everybody knew what a Roman soldier looked like, okay? So here's our Roman soldier, and we saw that we're told as a Christian to take the whole armour of God, that we'd be able to withstand and having in the evil day and having undone all to stand. Remember that a little bit later. Okay. The first piece of armour was the belt of truth. And the Bible says, stand therefore having your loins girt about, that's your belt, with the truth. And we learnt that truth is the most important thing, really, to deal with in life. If you're a Christian and you've found the truth, then you must be true and truthful too. Okay, then we looked at this morning the breastplate of righteousness. And the Bible says, having on the breastplate of righteousness. Now, we learnt what a breastplate was. And what's its job? Its job is to protect your heart. The Lord Jesus was righteous, wasn't he? It's called the breastplate of righteousness. So just as the belt taught us that we are to always be truthful and tell the truth, the breastplate tells us that the way to protect our heart is to be righteous. And we saw that Jesus was righteous. He always did what was right. And with his help, so can we. Can you remember one of the stories that Jesus told that I mentioned this morning about a man going from... then don't put your hand up. The man was going from Jerusalem down to Jericho. And he got attacked and beaten and left for dead, right? And along came two guys who were supposed to be righteous and helpful, and what did they do? They just left him. Now, did they steal something? Did they do something bad? Well, technically they didn't do something bad. They just walked, right? It's what they didn't do, what they should have done. Remember, that's what we're learning, that being right and righteous is not just about what we don't do, it's about what we do. And the Lord Jesus did good works. He did right things. He helped people in need, and he always did what was right. And so can we with his help. Doing right is more than what we do, is about what we do rather than what we don't do. And we looked at those verses. These two verses here even talked, remember, about Cain and Abel, and it talked about Cain's righteous works, and the righteousness and works were connected together there. All right, what have we got coming up here?
The skirt.
The skirt?
Yeah, it was a skirt.
What do you reckon?
Sandals.
The helmet?
Sandals.
What do you reckon? Don't call out, put your hand up. Yes, very good. The gospel sandals. Okay, let's have a look at them. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 15. You guys shouldn't have to guess. You should already have your Bibles open and be looking at it, or you should have memorized it and be able to tell me, okay? You should have known it's the sandals. You could have looked. By the way,
what?
What?
Why are you staring at me?
Why are you staring at me? You started first. You were staring first. No, you're not looking at the wall. You're looking at me. I know you're looking at me. What were we arguing about? Man. You're worse than my wife. We get arguing and we don't know what we're arguing about. That's not true, actually. We don't argue. We have some intense debates, but we've never argued. Okay. Actually, we just argue for fun, so we have to kiss and make up at the end. Hey, listen. There's something you young people need to know, because at camp sometimes you have to talk. I noticed that you hand out bird whistles. Okay, so it's a good time to talk about birds and bees and things like that. Okay, at camp. Now, before you get married, you're allergic to girls, boys. Okay? Girl germs are deadly. Okay? But God does a wonderful miracle when you get married, and he cures you of that disease thing. No, when you get married, that... Well, actually... Whoa. Okay, have you got someone in mind?
Yeah.
Yes, your mum. Yeah. His mum.
You can't marry your mum. She's already married. But look. Hang on. Is anyone over here, any of you girls volunteer? This guy's keen to get married. I'm sorry, look there. Hold it! Who started that?
Yeah!
I thought you were going to say that. All right. Now, he started it, I'm sure. No, sorry. Where did I get up to? Come on, someone.
The
bird whistle. That was after that. All right, we're up to the gospel scent, eh? Yeah, no, that came afterwards.
Your Wi-Fi.
My Wi-Fi. Yeah, that's right. I've got a great... Hey, listen, guys. Listen, I've got a great idea. Let's close in prayer. No. All right. We're going to talk about the gospel sandals tonight, okay? And I was saying you should have your Bible open, because if you... That's what I was going to say. There you go. If I'm asking a question, listen, unless I say no Bibles open, you're allowed to, you should have your Bibles open. If you've got your notes there that you took this morning and I ask a question about this morning's message, unless I say no looking at your notes, if you've taken notes, good for you. Congratulations, you deserve to be able to read them if you went to the trouble of taking notes. Okay? I want you to be rewarded for taking notes. So have your notes open. Don't do that or I'll slap you, okay?
Oh, please do. Yeah, please. Oh, no. Slap him first.
Okay. You will be rewarded for taking notes. So if you take notes and I ask questions and you look at your notes, then that's cool. Have your Bible, you know we're going to be looking at Ephesians chapter 6, so have your Bible open at Ephesians chapter 6 so that when I say what's the next one, you got it right there, okay? You can see. All right, here we go. This one is called the Gospel Sandals. It says here, read it with me, 1, 2, and your feet shod with the preparation of the Gospel of Peace. Now, the word sandals doesn't actually appear in the verse, just like the word belt didn't appear. But when we see your feet shod, that means putting something on your feet. That's what means to put shoes or some footwear on is what the word shod means. Your feet shod with the preparation of the Gospel of Peace. And so it's talking about the sandals. In Bible times, people wore sandals. Okay, it's all right. In Bible times, people wore sandals. Not shoes like we have today, but sandals. So we're talking about the sandals. All right. And these sandals are called the Gospel sandals, the Gospel of Peace. Let's think about them. Let's think about sandals that are called Gospel sandals. First of all, some of you may not know what the word gospel means. Okay? Is that a serious question? Okay. A number of you probably don't know what the word gospel means. And that's okay. Don't worry. One of the troubles that us older Christians have, those of us who've been a Christian for a while and we've learnt certain words, is that we forget that young people or young Christians might not have learnt what that word means yet. And so we've got to be careful not to take it for granted that everybody knows what it is. Because it's very tempting for me just to say, these are the gospel sandals and start talking all about it. When some of you are sitting there and going, what is gospel? Okay? So let's talk about what gospel is. It's a word. You found a definition of it, have you? Good on you. Want to read it out to us in a big loud voice?
Good news, glad tidings, hints and techniques of Jesus and of the
teachings of Jesus. Apostles, probably.
Apostles.
Yep, very good. That'll do. Okay, read the first part again, those first two bits again, nice and loud.
Good news, glad
tidings.
Tidings.
That's it. Yeah, no, just those bits. Okay? Good news, glad tidings. Okay? We can even drop off the glad tidings part because it's just another way of saying the first part, which is good news. That's what the word gospel means. The gospel means good news. Now, we've all seen a newspaper. We've all looked at a newspaper, and a newspaper is usually full of bad news, okay? And in most people's lives, there are lots of things that are bad news. And you and I know that in our country today and in the world today, there are a lot of sad people. A lot of sad people who've had a lot of bad things happen to them. A lot of sad people who have done a lot of bad things. And what people need today, is to hear some good news. And that is what the gospel is. And for a person who is a Christian, Our job as a soldier is to use our feet with our sandals, as it were, to go out and tell people the gospel, the good news. Now, when someone comes and knocks on your door, if they're something like if it was a policeman or someone like that, someone who looked official, immediately you sort of think, uh-oh, they're probably bringing bad news, okay? But if someone came to your door and knocked and you opened it up and you said, yes, and they said, I've got some good news for you, doesn't it make your heart lift, right? They might say to you, good news, I've got some good news for you. You passed your school exams, or something like that. Okay? Or, good news, you're gonna have to go to the dentist this week. No, they wouldn't say that. Now, sadly, today, when people think of someone coming to the door with good news, they're thinking, they might be gonna come and say, I've won Tats Lotto. Isn't it true? That's, for most people today, that's good news. Did you know, young people, that the majority of people who win those things end up in a complete mess? Their families break up. They have fights with people because now when someone comes to visit them, they'll think, they're just after my money. In fact, just last weekend, I was with a man whose son is a very famous person in Australian rules football, okay? I know you guys up here are rugby league, right? Okay? But you've heard of AFL, okay? The National AFL Football League, all right? Now, if I was to mention the name of this particular footballer, many of you would have heard of him because he's a very famous footballer, okay? A very good footballer and hence a very famous footballer. He grew up in a Christian home. His dad was a pastor. And when he first started playing football, he would say to people, I'm a Christian. But as time went by and he got more famous and a better player and they started paying him more and more money, he went out and he got himself his own manager instead of his dad, and he cut off his dad and his family, and he just followed after the fame and the money, and now he hardly ever talks to his family. And he thinks that if his family rings up, they just are after some money. Isn't that sad? So I can tell you, if someone was to come to your door and say, I've got good news, you've won lots of money, they should have said, hey, I've got bad news, you've won lots of money. Because young people, I can tell you right now, money won't solve your problems. Okay? The Lord Jesus will solve your problems. Okay? And when you know the Lord Jesus as your Saviour, you can be rich or poor or anything in between, and those things don't worry you, okay? So, the good news that we take to people isn't about money or fame or anything like that. The good news that we take to people is about our hearts. Remember we talked about how important our hearts are? And we go out to tell people something about their hearts, something that can be done for their heart. And young people, if you're here and you're not a Christian yet, the good news is that God wants to do something for you and your heart. Now, I've written up here, gospel sandals are foundational to the fight. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, remember that remember that for later. In those first few verses of Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, 11 and 12, it mentions a word three times, and that word that appears three times is the word stand. Okay? And having done all to stand. And then it says, stand therefore having your loins girt about. So, what do you stand on? Your feet. We talk about a building standing on its foundations, right? Isn't it true? A building stands on its foundations. What are yours and my foundations? Our feet. What are we ourselves? What's at the bottom of us that is standing on the ground? Hello? Our feet. Okay? We might have to go back to some simple third grade lessons here with some of you. But anyway, okay, so yes, we're standing on the ground. And of course, the ground and that ultimate foundation that we stand on is earth. And a solid rock is the best foundation in earth. And the Bible teaches that who is the solid rock? The Lord Jesus, right? So yes, if you want to look at the ground, the solid rock is the foundation, that's the Lord Jesus. But our personal foundation that we stand on the Lord Jesus, is our feet. And so our sandals are very important. It's foundational to our Christian life. If we're falling over all the time, we're not going to be able to be a very good soldier, are we? So your sandals are not like a weapon, are they? You don't take your sandal off and belt the other soldier, okay? Well, actually, if you're a girl, you might. You know,
get out of here.
Okay? Sorry, that's a distraction. Okay, now, our sandals are also a protection in the fight. When you are in a fight and in a battle and trekking along a road to go to fight, but they didn't have nice, smooth concrete footpaths then. Remember, they had little dirt tracks and stuff, and there'd be sharp rocks, and there might be bits of metal off of a sword or something. If your sandals protect your feet from injury. So your sandals are a foundational part of your equipment, but they're also part of your protection. In the same way that the breastplate was protection, your sandals protect you. Now, how does the gospel, because remember, we're saying that this is not talking about real sandals, it's talking about something in our life. Well, if we're a Christian and we know the gospel, the good news about the Lord Jesus, when we understand and believe in the importance of the gospel, then we won't stumble. What am I trying to say? I'm trying to say that. Okay? What I'm saying is, young people, if you don't really understand and believe how important it is for you as a Christian, remember I'm talking primarily to those of you who are Christians. If you don't really believe and understand how important it is to tell others about the Lord Jesus, guess what? You're going to get yourself into a mess, and you're going to fall over and stumble and be in trouble and not be a strong Christian. But if you will understand and believe how important it is to tell others about the Lord Jesus, your feet will be protected and will be strong. The Christian who's not concerned about telling others the gospel is a very weak Christian indeed, and a Christian who's going to be in big trouble. You can ask the older Christians here who've observed people over the years, okay? Those who really don't care about witnessing to others end up in trouble themselves. So your sandals are important to you that you don't stumble. And your sandals help you in the fight. Now remember, I said we're not going to hit people with our sandals. So what does it mean that our sandals help us in the fight? Well, first of all, remember that we're not actually fighting against those who are not Christians. Right? We're fighting against the invisible enemy. We're not actually fighting against people who are not Christians. We are, what does it say up there? We're helping people. Let's turn in your Bibles. This is the first extra one that we've got to turn to. So come on, let's turn there. find 2 Timothy. You were there earlier on today, so you should be able to find it again, but it's just before the book of Hebrews. Okay? It's about 20 pages before the book of Revelation. Second Timothy chapter 2, we want to look at verses 24 to 26. Right, we're not fighting against people, we're helping people. Are you there? Have you found it?
Yes.
Okay, listen as and follow along as I read. And the servant of the Lord. Now, you can put in there, if you want to, the soldier of the Lord, because this word servant is talking about someone who's a Christian. And you'll see why I say that you can put in the word soldier there, okay? The soldier of the Lord must not strive. Guess what the word strive means? Yes, it does talk about try hard, but try hard in the sense of what a soldier does. What does a soldier do?
Fight.
Okay, that sort of striving is what it's talking about, okay? So it's saying that the servant of the Lord or the Christian soldier must not strive like someone who's always looking for a fight. Rather than someone who's always striving and looking for a fight, it says this is what a Christian should be like. A Christian should be gentle unto all men. Apt, that means able to teach, patient in meekness, instructing, that means gently teaching those that oppose themselves. Those that oppose themselves. What sort of people, Christian or non-Christian, do you think that's talking about? Someone who opposes themselves. Do you think it's talking here about someone who's a Christian or someone who's not a Christian? Not a Christian. It's talking about those who are not Christians. And it says that people who are not Christians don't even realize it, but they're actually like attacking themselves. They're opposing themselves because they don't realize that that's as someone who's not a Christian, as someone who is resisting becoming a Christian, they're not hurting anyone except themselves. So that's what he's saying. What are we to do? We're to be patient with them. We're to teach them what the Lord Jesus says. And we're to gently instruct them. And look at the next bit. If God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledgement of the truth. Well, looky there. What have we been learning about? The importance of the truth. And what are we trying to get them to understand? The truth. So we're gently trying to get them to come to a place of repentance where they will acknowledge, accept, believe the truth. And then look at verse 26. That they may recover themselves, that means to escape, out of the snare of the devil who has taken them captive. Who are taken captive by him at his will. So it's saying that people who are not Christians are actually like prisoners of war. They're not like soldiers who we're trying to kill and attack and fight. They're more like prisoners of war than soldiers. And we're trying to rescue them. We're trying to free them from the devil. And the way to do that is to tell them the truth, the good news, that if they will repent, the Lord will forgive them and then they can become a Christian too. That's what we do as soldiers. We're peace soldiers. And that's why it's called the gospel of peace. We're not fighting against people. We're helping people find peace. Now, you don't have to turn there. I've got it there for you. Romans chapter 1 says by faith. That's talking about when a person believes in the Lord Jesus. What happens? Well, when I did it, when you did it, if you're a Christian, by faith, what happens to us? We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. When a war is going on and people are getting hurt and fighting's going on, what is it that everybody longs for? Peace. And I can tell you, I've seen pictures when World War II was over, the headlines on the newspapers said, peace. big headline saying peace. And everyone was jumping and dancing and rejoicing in the street because there was peace. No more war, there was peace. And young people, if you're a Christian, your job and my job is to help the person who's not a Christian find peace with God. And the way they do it is through the Lord Jesus. Look at this one. Romans chapter 10, verse 15. It says, how beautiful are the feet. What are we talking about? Gospel sandals, right? So here it is. How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings and good things. Hey, what did we say? What did you say gospel means? You said, whoops, wrong one. Whoops. Sorry. Wrong button. That one. Okay, gospel means good news, and it also, what did you say? You read good news, and what was the other one? Glad tidings. See that? There it is. Remember when you looked it up, it said good news and glad tidings. The gospel of peace. Young people, if you're a Christian, what you do as a soldier is you go out to people and tell them that they can have peace with God. There is good news. Their sins can be forgiven and they can have peace with God. What a good thing to be able to tell people. No matter what happens in life, you can know that your sins are forgiven, and no matter what happens, you can be at peace and know that when you die, you'll be able to go and live with God in heaven forever. You don't have to worry about whether you die now or in 50 years. You don't have to worry about whether you go through good things or bad things. You can have peace in your heart because you've had your sins forgiven by the Lord Jesus. Peace is the best thing in a war-ravaged world, young people. And people are ravaged by sin. Now, some of you young people may not have come quite to the place yet where you realise how important this is. Some of it might be going over your head, but you need to try your hardest to understand that if you haven't asked the Lord Jesus to forgive you and take your sins away, that you'll never find true peace in this life until you do. There's an old saying goes like this: if you haven't got God, you haven't got peace. No God, no peace. But then it goes on to say, know God and you will know peace. Isn't that cool? Yeah? No God, no peace. No God, no peace. If it wasn't written up there, you'd say, huh? What are you saying? But when you see it written, it's cool, isn't it? Do you know K-N-O-W, the Lord Jesus, as your personal Saviour? Is He your best friend? Have you had that special day where you joined His army by repenting of your sin and receiving His forgiveness and becoming a Christian? If you've had that special day, guess what? You're a soldier of peace, and your job is to go out and take the good news to everybody else. That's what our sandals are for, young people. Christian, put your sandals on. Get out there and tell your family, your friends, your enemies. You know the best way to defeat your enemy? Tell them the truth and turn them into a friend. That's the best way to defeat an enemy. Tell them the truth and turn them into a friend by helping them to become a Christian. If you're not a Christian, as we've said, after any message, and not just after... Don't let the devil distract now. Not just straight after the message, but any time during the day, you can talk to your leader. We want you to have a fabulous camp. We want you to have the best camp of your life. And the way to have the best camp of your life is to make sure that you leave this camp as one of God's soldiers, knowing for sure that you've become a Christian. If you haven't done that, you need to stay back and talk to your leader now, or you need to talk to your leader later on in your cabin or at a quiet time later on tonight or tomorrow morning. But don't put it off, young people. Make sure that you accept the good news. And if you have done that and you are a Christian, make sure that you take the good news to others. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Again, Lord, we have needed your help to be able to learn these challenging things, but Lord, they're so important. And I pray that you would help each one of the young people to be able to really grasp what these eternal, these important things are all about. Lord, we try our best, but it's your job. We ask you now to help everyone to understand. Give them what they need to be able to do what they need to do, Lord, so we commit each precious young soul here to you now. Amen.